Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, oh God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that I heard your call to come and to gather. Lord, it's such a privilege. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, the word you give us, the revelation, the understanding. And Lord, again, we come tonight, Father, with open and hungry hearts, Father, to hear and receive from you. Bless each and every one. Each and every one that's gathered, Lord. Maybe some might be over the internet, Lord. Lord, you can reach out, Father, and touch each and every one. And we ask that, Lord, that you would. Everyone under the sound of our voice, may you bless them. Lord, reveal your word to them. Whatever you have for us, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise. We ask all this in the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise it. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to start in our Only Believe book, page 381. World is thankfully not my home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven.
By the blood of the Lamb.
and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually.
Of rejoicing that will be. another day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, and we all see Jesus. Oh, we'll sing and we'll shout. Amen. Yes. Sing it again. Oh, and we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh,
praising and glorifying God throughout eternity. Oh, what we have to look forward to. Brother Hamilton, you want to come up now? Amen. That's the blessing. Amen. What a day that will be.
What a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promise, what a day, glorious day that will be, oh Lord. Oh, what a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Praise your name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Does somebody have something on your heart you'd like to make known by raising your hands? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Pitts, would you take the request this evening?
Heavenly Father, we come to your word again. Yes, knowing, Lord, that we are a needy people. Yes, and we truly do need you every hour, Lord. So as we come to you this evening, praise by the uplifted hands, Lord, we continue to be blessed. Yes. So we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you answer the prayers, Lord? Hallelujah.
Let's all stand then. We'll sing a little chorus, Only Believe. And that's our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
You believe he's here?
Yes.
Amen. Let's sing it.
Jesus is are possible.
I'm expecting you.
Amen. I pray the things our pastor's been speaking is still resonating in our hearts. I pray it's just continuing to build. Amen. We could bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've come tonight just, Lord, together around your word, and Lord, just to renew our minds to the things that you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, we just humbly ask that though it may be simple as it can be, Lord, it is your word and it is inspired, Lord, and it is spirit and it is life. And Father, may we drink in tonight of these things and just let it continue to build our faith. And Lord, to do whatever work you saw fit. And Father, we'll yield ourselves unto you and commit ourselves to you for service and just ask, Lord, that your will be done. Now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so wonderful. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would like to, we'll turn our Bibles over to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Read a very familiar scripture. Amen. Hebrews 6, and we'll pick up there about the 13th verse. Very familiar, but... For when God had made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater... He swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Amen. For men verily swear by greater, an oath for confirmation to them is the end of all strife. But wherein God willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise, think about why this was done. To the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter into that within the veil. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. I'd kind of like to refresh your mind to a couple things that we were speaking on last Thursday evening and kind of put this in place with it. Yes. And just kind of, you know, it may sound like we're talking about healing. It might sound like we're talking about receiving, getting a new birth. The shoe will fit wherever it's needed. You know, all you can do is just kind of rehearse it the way God lays it upon my heart and read the quotes that I feel impressed to read. So don't feel like I'm trying to preach just on healing, and don't think I'm preaching just on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if anything, think about this. The assurance that Abraham had, yes, that what God said, he was more than able to perform. Amen. And that's the, when we think about all of these examples that have been written into the scriptures that God has made sure was recorded. And as we went back and talked about the little example of the woman with the blood issue, and how her need was met, and how she was trying to get to Jesus, where that she knew it was laying. Yes. And Zacchaeus, it was in his heart, it was burning to see Jesus, and we see how he pushed and strove for that to come to pass. Yes. And then to bring it on down to the prophet of this day, and the people were seeing Jesus manifested again. Brother Branham was just a body. They were seeing the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting himself through a man. And the gifts that was coming forth, they knew exactly what was up there. The same as they did that day when they took notice of Peter and John and said, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. They saw the same works, the same acts, the same spirit. They were drawn to that. And how that prophet came and truly pushing that forth and showing us that it wasn't him. He was just a voice. He was just a body, a temple that God was using to display his attributes and to show and to catch the attention of that little bride. But what God did yesterday, he could do today and shall do forever. Now yesterday was back in the Bible times. Now yesterday was back when the prophet was here. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is not passed off of the scene. He's no weaker than he was then. He's the same, and he'll do the exact same thing for you today as he did back there if we but can grab a hold and anchor ourselves in his word and those promises and him send down that inspiration to your heart that's for you. Amen. It's all, and it'll be over. Amen. Amen. As we think about that, I'd like to turn back into the book of Mark, to the Mark, the 12th chapter, in very familiar and just kind of a simple little nugget that was placed in here, you might say. Not a lot of text to it, but God's prophet come along and he short dramatized it an awful lot. And I thought, I picked up on something he said, and I thought it would be good if we just go back and share this into our hearts as we look at where we're standing. And you know, Satan's going to come to us. It don't matter whether we're young, middle-aged, or old. If these promises are in this book, they're to me. Yeah. I might be young and just starting out, maybe I need a healing. It's for me. Amen. I might be old, and maybe my time is drawing nigh, maybe I'm getting close, but that promise is still to me. Yes. It's all to me. And as long as I'm on this earth, every promise in this book belongs to me, and God is obligated to his word. Yes. And he's got to have young, old, and middle-aged people every walk to declare him to this nation and to this people. He didn't say he was just going to do it in the young people. He didn't say he would just do it in the old people, but he said through his elected seed, he would declare to this nation, to this people. Amen. And so by God's grace, it don't matter where I'm at in age group, if I see that I've been called to his purpose and for his glory, his promises are to me. And I'm going to lay hold on that. You got to think about Abraham. How ridiculous it sounded the day the Lord might have sounded in the human mind. The day the Lord told him, you're going to have a son. It looked impossible. It looked, why? Why now, Lord, after all these years? But it didn't matter. God said it was going to be so. And Abraham didn't question him. He said, amen, let it be. And he walked after it just like that. He never turned back. He never looked back. His focus was on God's promise from that day forth. And that's the way it is with every true Christian born-again believer that truly believes God. It don't matter what anyone says, what any critic has to say, or what one person coming along tries to tell you. What God said, it will be. And that believer, that anchor's in their heart, and there's just something about it, you can't shake them. And you think about the messages Brother Branham preached on an absolute. And sometimes it might just sound like he was talking, but look at what it truly does to the heart of the believer when you can see that word manifested. It doesn't matter. There's something that'll hold you. It's not a book of rules. It's not a book of regulations. It's not, I got to do this to be saved. But it's a love affair because of what God has placed in your heart. Amen. And oh my, it'll draw you right where you need to be. Amen. And it'll put an excitement in your heart. Amen. To see his word manifested in your life. You know, there's many today going around. They want to see gifts operate. They want to see these things, but it's for their own glory. And it's for their own pride and to be that lifted up. But God said he'd have a little bride. She'd be so humble and she'd be so contrite and in tune with his Holy Spirit. Oh, what a people. And every promise belongs to them. Amen. What they have need of at the time and place. And God will lead them. And Brother Branham told us that that little bride would not ask for anything outside of God's word. Oh, may we truly let everything that we've heard build up into our hearts. Because remember, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word dwelt among us, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And all that was in God, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into his church. Amen. And think about that. And then greater is he that's in you than he that's in all the world. Amen. Oh my, and no man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draw him. And I will in no wise cast him out. Amen. I just pray you'll just let these scriptures gel in with the message our pastor's been bringing on a rapture. Because saints, I've been sent here for one purpose, to fulfill his plan. And this is the age that rapture is going to take place. And by God's grace, someone's got to be ready to fulfill that challenge. Amen. And may it be burning in our hearts. But here in Mark, the 12th chapter, in about the 46th verse. Amen. It's Mark 10. Mark 10 and 46. Amen. And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Not a big to-do. But he got a hold of who? Jesus, the Word, Spirit walking there and made flesh. And he was crying out. He knew that he had seen it, heard about it. He had heard he had done it for others. And his faith had anchored in that if he could but get there, and if he could but ask, he knew it would be granted. And if you think about each one of these, look at even his example. They told him to calm down, quit, hush. Stop crying out for that. You don't need to get a hold of him. You're going to disturb everything. But he cried a great deal more, it says. And oh my, how that truly ought to be in our hearts. You can't simmer us down. Amen. We're on a road, and in whatever phase of life we're in and whatever's burning in my heart, God has made promise to me, I'm going to get it. Don't let nobody get in my way, and don't try to hinder me and tell me it ain't so. Don't tell me I can't have that. God promised it. Amen. Yes, oh my. Let's listen. Just think about this. Maybe I'll get ahead of myself just a moment. Just to put this in our hearts, something Brother Branham said. This is Improving His Word, preached April 26, 65. And he was talking about the woman that touched his garment. He said, here's a woman that touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. And a soldier spit in his face, put a crown of thorns on his head, and felt no virtue. It's your approach. It's the attitude what it takes. And that's what it is tonight, dear friend. It takes attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. But it's your attitude that brings the results. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. And if we'll think about that, if we'll just get in the right mindset, that God's here to meet what he's said. He's obligated to his word. And how, if we could but focus our attention to the promises that's been left us, and truly not just let it build and all, that's for over there, that's for brother so-and-so, but this is to me personally. This is for me. And oh my, you watch it anchor and you watch the results it'll bring. But this is in the Message, Blind Bartimaeus. This was preached November 15th, 1955. And I want you to listen to what Brother Branham is saying as he talks about this situation. He dramatizes it a little bit to put it into perspective. And just, he starts here about paragraph 82, and he says, oh my beggars, I can see old blind Bartimaeus, sitting there by the side of the gate. And let's just take him for a few moments. That as an individual, let's imagine we see him sitting there and could catch what he was thinking about. I imagine he was sitting there shivering, the winds, his ragged sleeves hanging down, he couldn't see. If he could have been operated on for his blindness, why he didn't have the money to do it. And perhaps they couldn't do nothing for him, the doctors, because I guess it was too far for them, and especially in them days. So he was shivering. And I imagine him being a believer, he would think back, you know what, I'm sitting right here by this wall. And right out about 100 yards from him, there was the very same highway that many years before that great warrior Joshua marched around the walls when the walls fell. Just not but a few hundred yards from there to where Joshua, moving towards the gate one day, the captain of the host of the Lord stood with his sword up. But alas, that day is gone. In the same Jericho where this blind man sat, I can imagine Bartimaeus saying, oh, if I could have only been living then, when Jehovah was real to the people, when Jehovah really done miracles for us. But the days are gone. The priest says that was 100 years ago, and Jehovah doesn't do these things today. And then also, right on the same road, Elijah and Elisha come down with their arms around one another on the road to Jordan, where they struck the water. And the water parted to hither and thither, and they walked across on dry land. And I can imagine blind Bartimaeus saying, oh, if I could have only lived in that day, when the great and mighty prophets walked down the highway there, I would have run out to them and said, prophet of God, have mercy on me and give me back my sight. But alas, the priests say the days of miracles is past, and we don't have it no more. Somehow they seem to say that Jehovah's lost all of his strength. And I want you to think of how easy it is today for us to get in that mindset, our own selves. And oh, if I'd only been here when the prophet was here, he could have met my need. If I could only go back to the days gone by when Pentecost was really moving and things were happening, God would heal me. God is not dead and he has not changed. He's the same today as he was then, and his power is not weaker. And how we need to make sure we're not letting our minds focus back to a time that's been and forgetting where we are today. What did Brother Branham tell us? People are always praising God for what he has done and looking to what he will do, but missing what he's doing now. And today is the day that he is working. And who's he going to work through? You and I. Who's going to be his representatives? Those that have been called and chosen to his purpose. He's got no hands but yours and mine. So each one of us has got to find ourselves. We've been called to this, and we felt the draw to come unto him. It wasn't just to come into a church and sit down, and that's the end of it. But a life lived every day to his glory, to his benefit. No matter where I travel, where I walk, if I'm home washing clothes, or whether I'm on a job somewhere, his life on display, showing forth to this generation that he does have the preeminence in a body of believers. And oh my, because he has that preeminence and he's fellowshipped you, and you see that you're entitled to the inheritance that he's provided, that all that he's given, oh my, these promises are laying here for you at the time and place that you have need of them. But you know, sometimes we have not because we ask not and because we seek not. We just accept the state we're in and just think that's good enough. I can go on like this, but when there's more to be had for each and every one of us, no matter the path we're in, are we reaching forth, expecting, even tonight, it's Thursday night, maybe not a lot of us here, but did I come through that door expecting to help Brother Tim's probably going to preach tonight, or did I come through that door expecting that God's word will be ministered, and somewhere in there, there will be something for me to nurture me, to strengthen me, and to make me press on for what he's got for me. I don't know what you have need of. You don't know what I have need of. But the Holy Spirit knows each and every one of us. And he searches the reins. He knows the thoughts. And that's not just when you're doing wrong. But that's everything. He knows everything about you. As we said, his word is sharp and quick and powerful. And he knows there's nothing that's hid from him. He knows exactly what you're facing. He knows exactly what your heart's desire is. He knows exactly what you're seeking for. He knows what you're looking for. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not the pastor, not the brothers and sisters in the church, but he is the rewarder of them that are diligently seeking after him. And oh my, you know, once you can find that he's right there. Pray to the one that's in you. He's not off on a rock somewhere. He's not out someplace. We've got to summons him. I didn't have to just come into this building to get near him. But this was his provided channel to come and to be fed and to be nurtured and to be... But he is everywhere you are all the time. Oh my. Yeah. He's in you. Amen. Think about the scripture, saints. He's never that far away. Oh my. Amen. You can just realize how close he is.
Hallelujah.
He says here, but they say, you seem to say Jehovah's lost all of his strength. Brother, they try the same thing today. But he's still Jehovah God in the same power, the same compassion that he was, and he always will be. They had them at that days who denied his power, denied his miracles, denied his signs. And we got them yet today. And we'll have them to the end of the world. And we've got them those in them days who did believe and received. And we've got them today that believes and receives. And if there's a tomorrow, they'll still be believing and receiving. And not just believing, but believing and receiving.
Yes.
Amen. And that's what we're crying out is, Lord, I don't want to just be, we've seen it for years. He says, by his stripes I'm healed, that's all there is to it. I've got it made. And people have went on with an empty claim for a long time because they didn't seek the one that truly held the keys to that, to give it out. Amen. Oh, my, to cry out and to pray and to ask God for the inspiration that would strike and anchor into your heart, that you know for whatever you're seeking him for. It might be a healing. It might be a financial need. It might need be groceries for your table. It don't matter. You seek him. He's more than obligated to meet the need. Oh, my, and he's just waiting. He wants it to bring praise, glory back to his name. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus said, I will walk along your side to the end of the world. Amen. I'll be with you, a companion, a fellow citizen with you. I'll walk with you. I'll guide you in the paths you should go if you'll just let me. I love that. I'll be with you to the end of the world. Till it's all over, I'll be with you. And notice, then he thought, oh, if I could have only lived in the days when miracles were real. And here I am beyond the doctor's reach. I'm a poor beggar. I have a family at home. Maybe today I never got a coin. My children's hungry, and my wife, I know she's hungry, and I have no other way to make a living. Oh, if I could only see. I'd get me a job over in a wheat field somewhere, but I can't see. And I imagine he sits there, and God begins to deal with his heart. And you think about this. God begins to deal with each of our hearts at different times and different places for different things. God sees everything. He knows it all. We don't know what's happening, what's coming tomorrow, what God's going to do. But just notice how he put this just for a moment. He said, and God began to deal with his heart and prepare for something. Little did he know that just around the corner was the fountain of life.
Yes.
And if we could but just see how close that fountain of life is to us tonight, sitting here. He's dealing with our hearts for whatever reason. Wherever we're at, he's drawing us, he's pulling us. Where each one of us, as the word has been coming forth over the last several months here, it's dealing with our hearts, it's wooing us, it's drawing us to that place. And maybe just about the time, you might be thinking like blind Bartimaeus, I might as well just give up. There ain't no hope for me. This just can't be for me. Just keep pressing on. Just keep holding on, because he's just around the corner. And he's always right on time. Don't ever forget that. And he says, just around the corner. And when you get to thinking about divine healing, get to thinking about Christ, keep him on your mind. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, the Bible said, think on these things. If any thought comes by, well, maybe it couldn't be so, get it off your mind right quick. Think on things that's positive, and never let a negative thought pass through, or just don't let it stop anyhow. If it starts through, keep your thoughts positive on Jesus. Don't think sitting here in a wheelchair that you're helpless or hopeless. You're not. Don't let negative thoughts ever pass through, or don't never let it anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind, but don't let it stop. Amen. Keep rebuking the devil. He will flee from you. Amen. Keep the word ever before us. These things that the prophet said, you say, but think about the scriptures that he's tying what he was saying back to. And let it gel together in our hearts. This was in the message, Show Us the Father. This was preached June 6, 1963, paragraph 138. The word Jesus said is a seed that the sower sowed. And any germinatized seed in the right kind of soil will produce of its kind. And now I realize that this is being taped. And these tapes, we have a tape ministry all over the world. And many people just here tonight, where about 1,000 people are listening. But before this tape stops, there will be 10 times 10,000 here at sea around the world. And I'm one of them. And by God's grace, you're one of them that has had the opportunity to hear what he's fixing to say next. And so that's to me. He was talking to you. You've got to see it just that personal. He says, but I go on record and I say this about the word of God being a seed. If you can take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God, he will bring it to pass. If you can get yourself in a position to believe that that promise was to you. But if you let some rookie place it off on with more education than he knows gumption enough to know how to control, and can stick it off some age gone by or some age that is to come, it'll be of none effect to you. Like Jesus said, you take your traditions and make the commandments of God of no effect when you try to place God, some historical God or some pre-coming God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's just as much God now as he ever was. And if you can take that attitude that the promise is unto you, Jesus said in Mark 11:22, verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. And I say when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and it will be given you. How much more promise could be made than that? But you've got to believe it, because it is a seed. It has been planted in our hearts. But when you think about where we're at and how even this rapture, there's so many that want to push it off to another day. They want to push it off that it's not really close. It's really not coming. It's not here yet. We couldn't be that close. But God's word came to prepare us. And that excitement is, I keep thinking about Noah a lot. As we see the age in which we're living in the scripture, how many times it references Noah. But as he sat out there day after day, building on that boat, knowing the day was coming. But when he could look out there, and maybe the very first day he saw a hint of tinge, maybe in the clouds. We don't know what it may have looked like back then. It was the first time rain had come upon the earth like that. But maybe the dark clouds started to roll across the sky that had never been. a sign of the time. It was coming. Maybe the wind began to kick up and push a little bit harder. Wasn't raining yet, but it's coming closer. And maybe it began to get a little darker and a little darker. And then maybe the sun was totally blotted out. It still wasn't raining, but oh my, the clouds were getting lower and heavier. And the breeze is getting stiffer and harder maybe, as you see a storm roll in. And maybe all of a sudden there's a streak of lightning somewhere. The signs were evident that that promise was fixing to come to pass. And he was ready. He wasn't waiting. I'm sure he was diligently moving towards that promise. And I don't know how much longer we got left on this earth. We might be here 5 years, might be here 10, might be here one more day. But it don't matter. The signs of the time have rolled in. They are here. It is evident that this day is upon us. And oh, may we be a people with a joyful heart. Just as Noah, he knew he had been around that ark with all the pitch he could get. He knew he had every board put in place. He knew he had the food stored where it belonged. He knew those animals were safe where they were supposed to be, and he was just waiting for that day. And there wasn't no, well, I'll get that when it starts. No, he was ready. And oh my, may we be a people that's got that into our hearts. Lord, I'm going to be ready. It might be a year, it might be 10, but today I am ready, Lord, if you come. And I'm looking for it at any moment. But oh, don't get caught up as so many are just around the world or just, I don't know. It's the mindset. It's they've heard it, they've read it, they've seen it and heard it preached, but it's not sunk into them in a reality. They don't truly believe that it's going to happen. If they did, they'd make preparation for it to take place. And that's where it's at today. Our life is expressing what we truly believe. If I believe that promise is for me, you're going to see me reaching out to Jesus Christ for all I've got to see that made manifest in my life. Amen. Whatever it is that I have need of. If I believe it's laying there, I would reach for it. Yes. And I know that the same God that stood on the platform with William Branham is in this building tonight. Amen. To manifest and to vindicate every promise that he said he would to a willing heart that's willing to take him at his word and say, Lord, I believe you. That promise is unto me. Amen. Think about it.
Amen.
Here, this is in the message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride, August 2nd, 1964. He says, paragraph 81, the first stage that he brings us to, his plan of redemption, is exactly the same by everything. He uses the same method. He never changes. He said in Malachi 3, I am God and I change not. The way he does it, therefore, if he saved the first man he ever saved by the shed blood of the innocent one, he'll have to save the next one. And everyone that he saves will have to be the same way. And if he healed a man at any time through the journey of life, let it be in the days of Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, whenever it was, when the same conditions is met, he's got to do it again. That's right. He doesn't change. Man changes, times changes, ages changes, and dispensations change. But God remains the same, and he is perfect. What a hope that ought to give to the sick people. If he ever healed a person, he has to do it again with the same conditions as met. If he ever saved a man, he's got to do it on the same grounds he did the first time. And if he ever filled a man with the Holy Ghost, he's got to do it with the same grounds he did the first time. And if he ever raised a man from the grave, he's got to do it the second time and every other time on the same principle. He doesn't change. Oh, what a hope that gives me. What is it? Not in some man-made theory, something that groups of men have come together, but his unchangeable word. And you may not know it. Maybe you've never had the experience. But being raised and what I was raised in and seeing it changed over time. Man's word changed and it was told this was God's way. This is God's way. And it changed and it changed. And you get to a place you don't know what's right and you didn't know where to stand, but you let God come down the path and show you one time where it's laying and you watch it go to work in your heart. And amen, it'll put a firmness in you. It'll make you stand on what God has said and to lay everything else aside. God knows exactly how to bring his children, some through the fire, some through the flood, but all through the blood. Amen. God knows what it takes to put in us what we need to be able to stand with these last days that we're facing. And he's predestinated a people to be here for that hour. And by God's grace, I count myself as one of them. Amen. And I pray each one of you are feeling the same challenge, the same burning. That this word isn't just pages printed. It isn't just a Bible that's been written, but it's becoming me. And I'm becoming it, rather. He is changing me. He's conforming me to his image.
Yes.
And oh, may I yield greater to him. Amen. Let's see here. This is in the message, Going Beyond the Camp, July 1964, paragraph 116. He says, "And on the day of Pentecost, when they seen all these things going on, and they said, what can we do to get this inoculation? And here he read the prescription, and he said, no, I'm going to write a prescription, and it's for you and to your children, and to them that's afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall ever call. Don't fool with the prescription, you'll die. They make it so weak today till it's nothing but a denominational water. That's right, some embalming fluid they inject into a dead man can make him deader. But oh, but brother, there is a genuine anointing. There is a balm in Gilead, and it's for the healing of the soul. Just don't fool with the prescription. Take the prescription just the way it's written, and God is obligated to his word, not obligated to the creed or the dogma or the denomination. He's obligated to his word. Follow the prescription. That's the first basis. Start off, and then you're signed up and ready to go to work. Amen. And it doesn't matter what word or what promise it is. Don't mix it up. Don't add to it. Just take him the way at his word and march towards the promise. Amen. And watch God fulfill it in his time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He will keep it. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would, please. This is in the message, God, who's rich in mercy, January 19th, 1965, paragraph 66. He said, "Then I can tell you where the apostolic age was given, and the apostolic blessings was given to the church, and now you tell me where God's taken it out of the church by the word. You can't do it. It's not there." I said, "Remember that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he was the introducer of the apostolic age, and he told them all to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and them that's afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, if you want to listen to the clucking of some denominational hen and live back there in the same things of the world, and then it goes to show that there's something wrong, because that is the word. Whosoever will may come. And if you've got a will, you should come. But if you haven't no will, then you're in a sad condition. But if you've got a will to come, come and follow God's formula. And he never fails to fulfill what he promised. I once was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen him fail in his word, because he can do anything but fail. He cannot fail. God cannot. It's impossible for God to fail and remain God. He has to do that. Amen. And what a consolation it puts in my heart to know that he doesn't change. He doesn't lie. And what he said will come to pass. Amen. It cannot fail. And by God's grace, that's what I'm anchoring my hope in. I pray each one of you, as each day goes by, we're anchoring our hope more into what he's promised us.
Yes.
And realizing that what we're serving, the God we're serving, is not a God of yesterday. He's not gone, but he's the same as he was yesterday, today, and shall be forever. And these promises aren't weaker. This Bible, these things that are laying in here, they didn't go away. Every promise laying in there I can have today, just the same as I had yesterday, and I shall have till he comes. Because that's what it was for. He paid that penalty of death, covered my sins, amen, and made a way that shed blood would stand there and cover me. And every promise in the book is mine, amen. And oh, may we truly reach out to him and take a hold of what he's rightfully given us. Not of our merits, but of grace. You are saved, amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Sing that little chorus, "As Our Brother Comes," one of them. Amen. Amen. Brother Kevin, you might have to help me. I lost the words to the first verse there. Amen. All praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Now what he did for that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad. In Jesus' name.
Thinking about it as I sit there, actually listen, Brother Timothy, on many things. You know, it seems like as time goes on further and the older I get, I don't know why, but I just seem to appreciate more and more that call down on the inside. The very first time, it started really calling in my heart. The drawing, the desire, if you want to call it, the pull, whatever it may be you want to call. I'm so thankful for that. And then to see that pull, that draw, and the work of the Holy Spirit draw me into the fold. Oh, I'm so appreciative of that. I trust that you will be too. You'll be so thankful and so appreciative of what God has done for you. And I was thinking about that faith he was talking about again. He was talking about Abraham and his promises. I've been thinking a lot of that lately, you know, thinking about how Abraham stood so true and faithful on that word of God. As old as he was, and he knew that his body was not, or Sarah's womb was not fit for that. Her body was not ready for it. It could not happen as far as to look at in the natural eyes. But God revealed it to him. I was thinking about that. Revealed. It seems like, do we take that too lightly? Knowing that the Holy Spirit actually reveals the Word of God to us. Brother Branham was talking about an imperfect faith. And think about it. Brother Branham is talking about when that Word of God is revealed to you. Notice what word it is. That is perfect faith. It is a perfect revelation. God revealing Him His Word to you. Perfect faith. Think of that. And we can walk today. It's so glorious to know that. God revealing himself to his people. And again, it all goes back again. No wonder the prophet said, call on revelation more than anything else in this life. Oh my. Saints, don't never, never think that by hearing the word over and over again, because faith cometh by hearing the word, that's very precious. And regardless how many times we hear about the coming of the Lord, the rapture, and all these things, Brother Timothy mentioned about Noah again. Look how many years Noah worked on that ark. Think how many years, 120 years. And if we live to be 80 or 90, we're blessed. But that's still not close to 120. Think of that. But yet he preached the same thing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Prepare. Get ready. And he worked according to what God revealed to him. And he kept adding a board upon a board upon a board, a beam upon a beam, whatever it may be. And he was building his ark. Oh my. And faith is building us up to get us ready to change bodies. Oh my. And it may look like, oh, we've been talking about this for a long time. But how old are you? How long have you been in the message? How long have you heard those things? 40 years? Some of you, maybe 50, you know? That's still not near 120 years. No, you see? So, but just think, every time we listen to it, it's building us up. It's building it up. We're getting ready. Oh, my. I'm excited about it. I can't forget about it. It's just something that I'm looking forward to. It could be tomorrow. Could be next week, as Brother Simmons said. Could be 5 years from now. Who knows? But just think, after today, I'm another day closer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. But if I can just let me be crazy, just as long as I know where I'm going, know where I'm headed. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's been a great blessing to be here this evening again, to be gathered around the Word of God. And it wasn't just a message, Lord. It wasn't just a sermon rod, and just to fulfill some time and to be able to say, well, we came to church just to say. But Lord, every time we come, every time we listen to the word, it's building up that faith in our hearts. And Father, giving us a greater assurance. And Father, that's such a blessing. We appreciate you so very much, Lord. You've been so good to us. And Lord, we can't seem to thank you enough. Just letting us know we have eternal life is just beyond what we can imagine sometimes. But Lord, it's just such a blessing to know. We just ask again as we've gathered here now again tonight and gathered around the Word and we've come to the close of another service. Lord, each and every one of us will be able to take something with us. And those who was maybe sitting in their home listening, may they, Lord, be able to take something with them tomorrow. And Father, know that they've grown another step up that ladder. A ladder of faith. And Lord, that's what we all want to do, just keep climbing until we finally leave this life, Lord, and take on that eternal life. Bless us now as we leave this place. Bless those again that have to drive and keep your hand upon us, Lord. And we just wait in great expectations for the next service, Lord, whatever you'd have for us. And if it be your will, and if you should tarry, Lord, and if we should live, Father, may we gather around again. We ask it again through the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. Can we sing out a chorus again? I love him. Before we leave. Do you love him? Brother Bram said that was one of the greatest worship choruses you could ever sing. Just thinking, I love him. And we didn't. It's not because we're going to sing it now and determine how we do as far as the instruments. It isn't all about somebody else hearing me. It's a worship going to him. Personal. It's a personal worship between you and him. Amen. So if you really love him, you want to sing from the depths of your heart. Appreciation to him. Amen. Let's sing. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my